Last night, the Holy Spirit kept me awake all night long. And he said, I don't want you to preach that one. So he changed the whole thing. So just bear with me. I'm not going. This doesn't mean that I'm going to preach an hour and a half. But I want to share with you what the Lord has given me. In Psalm 127, I preached from this psalm just a few months ago. But once again, I want to remind you of what it says. Psalm 127, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." We were, Miss Judy and I were at the quartet convention over in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, this past two or three days, the National Quartet Convention, and one of the groups that got up to sing, I think it was in the Chuck Wagon Gang, and one of the men started talking, and he shared how he had read a story just recently in the paper about something took place out in California. And he said that told the story of how a little girl had told her teachers and the people around her that she wanted to identify as a cat. And so guess what happened? They put a litter box in the bathroom for her to use. And he said, they call that woke. And he said, I call it stupid. And that stirred my heart, just thinking about how we've gotten to such an alarming place in the world that we live in and in our lives, that things like that are taking place time after time after time, and becoming more and more often. So I ask for your grace this morning, and I wonder if I may take just a few minutes to share with you what the Lord's been talking to me about all night long, because I love you. I love you as one of your pastors, and I feel like this is something that I need to say to you, something that we need to think about seriously. I'm not going to kid myself. I know this is not going to be popular with everybody. And I know it's not popular in the world that we live in to think about and talk about. It's old school. We get accused of being old-fashioned when we talk about things like this, and that's all right. But I want to say to you that all old things haven't fulfilled their purpose and need to be laid by the side. Not all things that are old are bad, and not all things that are new are bad. There's some of those things that are still good. And here's one of them. I believe that we have passively, I believe the reason so much just ridiculous things are taking place in the world that we live in, and it's not slowing down, it's not stopping. you can count on it, it's going to keep right on going. It's going to get worse. And I don't want to depress you, but that's the truth. It's going to, these kinds of things are going to continue. And I believe one of the reasons is because we have passively surrendered some very important things that used to be regularly talked about, preached about, and taught to congregations that established the church on a firm foundation, that strengthened families to the point that we could be an influence in our world, in our community, where we could truly be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But we seem to have just passively surrendered a lot of the things that we once believed were very important. And without any objection, without any protest, we've just sort of fallen into the trap. And sometimes we are reminded of how things were in the past, how the church seemed to be stronger and families seemed to be stronger, but we just don't say much about it. We're afraid somebody might not like it. We've left behind some of our priorities. We've forgotten what's really important. And we have been distracted by what's the coolest thing that's going on in the world that we live in today. What has built strong families? Families of faith. Families that honored God, families who raised children to know God's word and to love the Lord Jesus and aspire to serve Him and make their and that their lives may make a difference for the kingdom of God. And what is it that has brought about the present chaos that is enveloping the world that we live in now? I think it one of the major things that we have passively laid aside is family worship. You don't hear anything anymore about the family altar. You don't hear families talking about what they recently read with their family from the Word of God. We just don't talk about things like that anymore. And the Bible says in this passage that I just read to you, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. And it goes on to remind us. I didn't read it to you, did I? Did I not read that to you? You did? I did. Did I read the whole thing? Okay. Let's do that. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. Bible says that children are the heritage of the Lord. And that our mission in life should be, as parents, to raise up a generation of young people that will bring honor and praise to the Lord. To raise up a generation who know the Lord and who have a personal relationship with Him, and will as they grow up, will impact the world for Jesus Christ, because they have been taught to know Jesus and to love Him, and they have a hunger and desire to serve God and to please Him. They are the heritage of the Lord. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 tells the story of a wise man and a foolish man. It says, the person who hears the word of God and obeys it and puts it into practice in his life, Jesus said, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon rock, who dug deep into the earth and built his house on a solid foundation. And when the winds came, and the rain came, and the floods came, it beat on that house, but that house stood because it was built on a rock. And he said, I will liken the foolish man into one who built his house on the sand. He just went out and did the easiest thing possible without any effort, without any discipline, without any hard work, and built his house on the sands that shift every day. And when the rain came, when the storms came and the wind blew, he said that house collapsed and fell because it was built on the sand, and great was the fall of it. And he said, that's what happens when someone hears God's word and does not obey it, does not put it into practice in their life. It seems to me that we have stopped building on a solid foundation. I know we have. And we've looked for an easier way to do this thing of raising strong families. And we've even gone to the extreme of accepting the propaganda of the political world and the culture that we live in, that tell us that the answer to all of our problems is that we elect the right politician to serve us. They have the answers. You got to be kidding yourself. If you think anybody, any president or any other politician can straighten out the ungodly mess that we have gotten ourselves into. I mean, you don't have to watch TV very much. I'm getting more and more angry and bored with it, and I'm protesting TV. I just don't watch it hardly at all. But it's kind of humorous and sad too, when we watch what takes place on the news and on the media of today, the liberal media of today. It seems like every politician is just one clown among the rest of them, a bunch of clowns. And they don't seem to have any respect for anybody. They have no respect for believers or for the church. You know, they used to go around professing to have religion. Every one of them got religion when it came election time. You know, they used to come around court us a little bit. But they don't do that anymore. You know why? We're not a threat. You know when I know I'm straying from living the life that God wants me to live. When the devil stops fighting against me, I know I'm getting off course. And the reason he stops attacking me is because I'm not a threat to him anymore. He'll just leave me alone. And that seems to be the way the politicians are treating us now. They throw their cuss words around and they... there's not a one of them that is qualified according to godly standards to even be in public office. They've got a long train of marriages and divorces and immorality and hoochie mamas in their life. And they have no respect for us. And they want us to build our house on the sand just like they are. They are not the answer. You know it and I know it. I believe it's time that we focus on what the real problem is. We have failed God in strengthening our families and teaching them the eternal principles of God's Word and building strong faith in our families and encouraging them to get out there in the public arena and stand up for Jesus. The enemy. Whether you know it or not, we have an enemy. And he has declared war on the family. Because he knows that the family is the building block of society. The family, the strength of the family determines the strength of the church. And the strength of families determines the strength and the direction of an entire nation. And so Satan has declared war on the family. He wants to destroy the family. That's the reason for all this LGBTQ stuff that's going around. That's the reason that the family is being attacked and it's disintegrating under the attacks of the enemy, because it's the building block of society. I say it's time that we declare war on the enemy. I say it's time we take the fight to him instead of turning a blind eye and lying to ourselves, living in a refuge of lies, and comfort ourselves by saying, "Oh, this is not really happening. It's going to get better." No, it's not. Until we take the battle to the enemy. Ephesians 6 says that there are that the enemies around us are principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of darkness, and it goes on and exposes what the rulers of darkness are and what the enemy is doing or trying to do. And it goes on and says to us as believers, so because of all this, you need to put on the whole armor of God. You can't win this battle on your own. You have to put on the whole armor of God so that you could stand against the wiles of the devil. It's time we take the fight to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. He's talking to you, church. He's talking to every child of God. the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but he says they're not physical. We're not to go out and bust people in the mouth. That's not what he's talking about. But our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Think about the strongholds that Satan has in this world today that he didn't have 10 years ago. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's time we take the battle to the enemy. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 tells us why the enemy is stepping up the battle and turning up the heat. He's desperate. In Revelation 12, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us of not being sincere. He accuses us of believing in something that is a fantasy. And he comes against us to undermine us and to destroy our confidence in God and in what God can do in our lives and through us and how we can help change the world. He's afraid. He's the accuser of the brethren. And the Bible goes on there and says that his wrath is great. It's greater now than it has been in the past. His wrath is great, and there's a reason for that, because his time is short. He knows it's all going to come to an end. He knows who's going to win this battle, and he knows he's going to lose. And it says he's the accuser of the brethren, and his wrath is great because he knows his time is short. And the shorter it gets, the madder he's going to get. And the more he's going to wage war on people of faith and on God's church. But we've got a secret weapon. And it tells us about it there in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And it's time we roll it out, folks. It's time we sweep the dust off of it and get it ready for battle. Roll it out and unleash it on the enemy. And here's the secret weapon. He says in verse 11, although Satan's wrath is great because his time is short. He's unleashed it all on God's people today. He says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, when trouble comes, when uncertainty comes, it's not, God allows some of these things in our lives. But he doesn't mean for it to hurt us, to defeat us, to discourage us. He wants us, he wants it to force us to depend more on him and trust him more. And overcome him. Scoot up closer to the Lord. And turn our fears and our weaknesses over to him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How much talk and how much do we talk about Jesus in our homes? How much do we talk about Jesus and what he's done for us out there in the workplace? Are we ashamed of him? He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you when you stand before my Father. He said, but if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Are we just talking about everything under the sun just to make conversation with people, and we stay away from talking about Jesus because we know some might get offended or we're embarrassed even to talk about Jesus? They overcame him by the word, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Christ, and by the word of their testimony. The prophet put it this way: not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it even collectively, but God can do it through you by His Spirit. He's going to win this battle. Not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit. It also says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. And he will, if you now stand up for Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think that same passage also goes on and says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. John said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. One of the great prophets, Ezekiel, said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge for my people. I believe God's looking for a man today, for men who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Men who know Jesus Christ, men who treasure their families and their walk with God and the nation, the free nation that we live in, and who, whatever the price, are willing to stand in the gap. Be man enough to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. God's looking for men to stand in the gap. I think of Abraham, who God spoke to as the head of his home, whom God held responsible for the welfare of his family and for his leadership, his influence. And he said, Abraham, I want you to do something. I want you to take your son, Isaac, the only son that you have that I promised you. I want you to take him and offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham did not question God, we're told. But he took his son, climbed the mountain with his son wondering about what was about to take place. He even went so far as to bind him and lay him on an altar of sacrifice and pulled out a dagger to take his life because he trusted God and he was obeying God. And God stopped him. And he said, Abraham, I know now that you're the man that I want you to be. I know now that you're a man of faith who will build a strong family that will bless the entire world that you live in because you've trusted me in this. And he gave Abraham a sacrifice to offer. And that's where we get the name Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord who provides. And if you and I will take a stand for what is right and a stand for our faith and our Savior, God will provide our every need. He'll fight our battles for us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise up a standard against him. I believe the Lord is calling us, men, fathers, grandfathers. I believe he's calling us to establish family altars and family worship and to encourage our families to serve the Lord and to learn about Him in the home. I believe God is calling us to make it clear to our family whose side we're on in this battle. We had a little lady out in Missouri in the church. She couldn't hear. She'd lost her hearing. But she came to church every Sunday. And one time she handed me a note. And it was a little story about a man who couldn't hear. And he came to church every Sunday. He even went up in the choir, tried to sing. And people asked him, said, why do you even come? You can't hear the preaching. You can't hear the singing. You can't hear anybody talking to you. Why do you even come? And he said, I just want people to know whose side I'm on. And she said, Ruby said, that's why I come. I just want people to know whose side I'm on. Listen, your family needs to know whose side you're on. And you need to demonstrate that in your home, in the way you spend your time and your conversation, and what you invest in their lives, building their faith and their trust in God and your confidence in the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Will you stand with us?